Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every week at this time, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How are you?
What's going on, gents? How you doing?
Busy week around here, Charles. A lot of things going on.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, it's been quite interesting. So let's just start on the Hopkins front. So Hopkins gets moved to Kansas City, a fifth-round pick that has the opportunity to turn into a fourth-round pick if he plays 60% of the snaps and the Chiefs reach the Super Bowl. What do you make of that move from the Titans' standpoint? What does that signal to you? And what do you make of the fit for Hopkins with Kansas City?
Yeah, I mean, what we talked about this last week with Hopkins, and look, I mean, it's hard for me not to see it as, okay, how do I interpret this in terms of the future of Will Levis? That was one of the things that we talked about last week was, do you pick up the draft pick that, you know, isn't good luck with it? Maybe you can turn it into something. More likely than not, you won't be able to, but anything that's really a fourth, fifth, sixth rounder, for a player of that stature, when you're selling at that point, you're sending a message about your team. You're sending a message about the player. We knew he wouldn't be. I mean, I guess I assumed he wouldn't be back next year unless certain things happened this year. You know, if Levis really seemed to turn a corner, Hopkins played well, you know, everything's turned in the right direction, then you try to see if you can stretch it out, particularly if you feel like it's helping Levis in his development. That wasn't happening, you know, and none of that really has happened. So I think you get what you can out of him while you can, and then you weather what we're talking about now, which is, okay, if your intent is to continue to develop Will Levis, if he is the future of your team, why do you take away what has been his most reliable piece on offense when both are healthy, both are on the field at the same time? You know, Will Levis's best moments typically have involved DeAndre Hopkins. Now you're taking that away. So what does that mean about the quarterback? Are you done? Has the Levis thing run its course? Are you now recalculating where you're going with Will Levis if you're starting to take capital off the field? I think those are all fair questions. I think another question I would ask is Calvin Ridley available? You know, who else is available on this offense that you could potentially take calls? I for me personally, I think it's a sign that we're going to see in the long run that they're going to spend this off season trying to figure out what else their options are at quarterback. And, you know, do I think Will Levis could still affect that? Yeah, I do. Do I think he's at a critical moment of the season? Yeah, I really do. The next opportunity he gets is, for me personally, I think it's probably his last as a starter. And if things don't go well, they're definitely going to be looking at whether it's draft, whether it's free agency, whether there's a veteran out there that has a past history with Callahan. I think those will all be discussions in that building and where they could potentially, you know, turn next at quarterback. So the fit in terms of Hopkins and the Chiefs, I think we talked about this too last week. I told you the two teams, everyone is saying we're absolutely going to acquire a receiver, were the Chiefs and the Pittsburgh Steelers. So this makes a ton of sense to me from the Chiefs standpoint. Short-term option for Patrick Mahomes. I think Mahomes will be able to squeeze whatever Hopkins has left at this stage of his career. It's a rental. I think it'll be to the end of the season, but definitely adds, I think, the level of experience that they are looking for. The modest level of talent. He's not the same player he used to be, but I think they feel like, okay, Mahomes can still sort of raise all boats with what he does. And I think also he fits with Travis Kelce. I think they're looking to add a piece that can draw, you know, potentially an extra defender. They're not trying to go out and get a younger guy who's still developing. They just want a reliable veteran who's got some, you know, good hands, can come in, be a good locker room guy. knows what he's there for. They're there. He's there for the three-peat. That's it. He's coming in for the three-peat, and then after that, he'll be a free agent, you know, in March. So it makes total sense, I think, from the Chiefs' standpoint. You know, the Titans, it raises obviously some questions. I'm curious, what has the what has the temperature been there? I mean, are people looking at this like, okay, that means they're out on Levis and the season's over and here we are, you know, dealing with this again. What a massive disappointment, and let's fire everybody. I mean, I assume that's probably
some people are saying things like that. They are. Well, the question is, it's definitely a question worth raising on Levis, right? I mean, I mean, he's going to play more this year, but
sure.
But I agree. I mean, it's like if you take away a guy that the one guy we know he has had chemistry with, and I don't think you can ignore that as a comment on the situation. So, trading deadline. I'm gonna throw you a quick combo platter here. I assume the Bucs have got to get a receiver. It appears the Rams want to unload Matthew Stafford. And I know Mark Davis said hands off Max Crosby, but I mean, I keep seeing, you know, these Lions fans with Max Crosby art with him in a Lions uniform. And I just wonder, like, is it possible that they're going to unload the farm to get him?
Okay, so we'll deal with Max Crosby first. I talked to somebody inside the Raiders, and I was told straight up, like, there's no way he gets dealt unless he tells Mark Davis, I want to be dealt. Like, Mark Davis does not want to deal Max Crosby. He has an affinity for him. I think I told you when they fired Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler, when they made that entire big change last year, the three guys, so Mark was like, all right, I'm going to take counsel with players. And the three players he took counsel with were Josh Jacobs gone, Devontae Adams gone, and Max Crosby. So he's making these big future decisions.
That advisory board is dwindling.
Yeah, exactly. He's making these big future decisions, you know, taking counsel with guys that, you know, aren't even there at this point. And yet he's shaping the franchise based on that. And we've seen kind of how that's gone. Not great. But I've been told, like, look, Max Crosby's like one of Mark Davis's favorite players ever, like in history. Like, that's how much, you know, he loves this guy. He loves him in the locker room, thinks that it's the one guy that he feels like he has had on that roster who, thick and thin, up and down, he shows up, practices hard, plays hard, and ultimately is basically just the player that everybody can point at and say, hey, man, no matter how bad it is, that guy usually brings his lunch pail. I hate that stupid cliche, and I just used it. and so, you know, but again, if Max Crosby wants out, I think if Max Crosby, and again, this is based on what I'm told, if Max Crosby goes to Mark Davis and says, hey, man, you know, I'm not about it. I got to get out of here. You know, what are my options here? And I think then at that point, it would become a conversation in the franchise. As far as I know, that hasn't happened yet. And even if it did, we're talking like Khalil Mack level of compensation. I think they would. I really truly think the Raiders would want three firsts. And they also have, you know, Telesco, the general manager there. Somebody made a really good point to me. I was talking to some other GMs, and they were like, "When has Telesco ever done a big deal?" He's like, "Go back to his Chargers time. It's just not him. He's not a big trader. He's not someone who in the past has constructed, you know, these big, massive moves." And so, you know, when you talk to other GMs about how trades come together, like, you have to deal with a GM who knows what they're doing, has done it in the past. And he does not have that history. And that clearly is an impediment. And I'll be honest with you, there have been other times too, where that is a true sentiment. Like, when you talk about trades, and this is for all fans, you talk about the Titans or, you know, any trade in general, look at the GMs involved and figure out how realistic it really is. Because I remember at one point when the Deshaun Watson stuff was going on, I remember at one point the Texans were talking to another GM and they were kind of going back and forth about potentially dealing Watson or some other picks or whatever. And the opposing GM was literally proposing things. It was like they're on the phone. He's like, all right, well, we could do this, this, and this. And they're like, you can't, like, the league office is closed today. We can't do any of these trades you're talking about. Like, we can, like, he was trying, like, on the clock during the draft to do some things that literally they couldn't pull off because the league office had been closed that day. You have to get in, you know, trades by a certain time.
Right.
You know, I think it's like 5 o'clock Eastern or whatever. And this was like an 8 o'clock conversation. And the GM was talking about like getting things done in the next hour. And they're like, what are you talking about, dude? Like, we can't even trade this. Like, this can't happen until tomorrow now. You've already wasted today. It's crazy, but like sometimes guys don't even know what they're doing. And that affects, you know, whether or not trades can happen. So that's what I would say about you know, the Raiders. The GM there does not have the history. The player is not pushing to get out. It seems really unlikely. And the compensation, like I said, I really do think it's 3 firsts. So there's that. What else were you asking? Oh, the Rams.
Stafford and then the Bucks.
Yeah, we'll go through the Rams. Okay, so the Rams. So I think I believe Kupp will get moved. You know, there's the market for him. I absolutely think they can get a good pick for him, particularly if they decide they can eat some of the salary. Stafford's a little more interesting. It's, you know, from the standpoint of like, if Kupp is going out the door and you're Matthew Stafford, you definitely have to sit there and go, yeah, I'm probably not coming back next year. Like, they're probably going to cut ties with me. There's a cap hit associated with it. They're going to split it over the 2025 cap, 2026 cap. This is sort of the end. But for the Rams, I think it's like, okay, if you were to trade Matthew Stafford, what is your option? Like, you need to be, if you're moving him, you need to be moving him with a quarterback plan in mind. If it's Jimmy Garoppolo, what are you really moving Matthew Stafford for at this point? You know, are you getting real assets out of him? You're going to have to pay him money to leave. There's a lot of like financial implications of it. It sounds good to say it. And I even think I proposed like Minnesota. I'm like, look, there is a lot of sensibility in a potential Minnesota trade because of the relationship he has with Kevin O'Connell. They've gone through a Super Bowl run together. You know, I still think Stafford, surrounded by the right pieces, is a very high-level quarterback. I'm not out on Sam Darnold, but he's thrown one touchdown and I think two interceptions the last two games. You're like, okay, is there a cap ceiling on him, and are we going to start to reach it in the second half of the season, which is typically what happens. Guys will come out in the first half. They can play reasonably well. Teams sort of figure it out. There becomes a game plan for these guys, and then they fade the second half of the season. So is there a Sam Darnold fade coming? And if there is, you really need to consider, do we have another option, you know, on the table right now? And if it's Stafford, how can we make that happen? You know, for the Rams, I'm like, could you involve Darnold in a trade financially? You know, the Vikings could take on Stafford and the remaining base salary, no problem this year. The Rams could take on Darnold and his remaining base salary, which is nothing this year because he's playing on a backup quarterback deal. Stan Kroenke would have to write a massive check. He would have to take it in the teeth. They would have to, they'd have a pretty big cap hit that they'd have to, you know, figure all that stuff out. So there's a lot of hurdles. Beyond that, I just don't know where else Stafford really makes any sense. He doesn't have a no-trade clause, but I also don't think the Rams are going to say, we're just going to deal you to the Raiders or wherever without Stafford's sort of blessing. It's just like, you're going to have Stafford's blessing. I'm sorry. I don't think he's going to the Titans. He's not going to the Raiders. You know, would he go to Minnesota? Yeah, potentially, because the OC, Kevin O'Connell, the head coach there, they played together with the Lions. They didn't play together. They were on the Lions roster together in 2009. So they know each other as players. He was Stafford's OC during the Super Bowl run, right? And Stafford was effusive in praise for Kevin O'Connell. They're very tight. I'm sure he also would look at it and go, okay, geez, well, I could stay here, not have Cooper Kupp. Team's banged up. They're going to be bringing along some young receivers.
Or go throw to Justin Jefferson.
Sure. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison. Oh, a tight end, TJ Hockenson, who I threw to for a couple of years with the Lions. Like, it's a completely different situation. And, you know, you got a chance to get in the Lions' way. And I do think you feel some kind of way with the Lions. So there's a lot of, like, layers here where you're like, yeah, I could see that potentially coming together. But here's the funny thing about this. We got this game tonight.
Yeah. And the Rams win, they get the trade. Yeah.
Right. Well, so here's the wild thing. Like, no matter what happens tonight, it kind of damages a potential trade. If the Vikings win, they're sitting there and going, and we're right back on track with Sam. Like, we're fine. Like, look at we'll be 6-1. We're rolling. Do we really want to screw with this at this point? Because it gets dicey, you know, like you don't know if anything, you know, chemistry wise, if this is going to come together. You're playing with fire in the middle of a season. No one's ever pulled anything like this off before. It's kind of crazy to even think about. Now, if the Rams win, if the Vikings don't win and the Rams win, I'm telling you, inside that organization, having talked to McVay, having talked to Les Snead, the GM, they absolutely will be like, we can fix this. Like, we can get this. Like, we can do this. Like, hey, man, we just beat the Vikings. Okay, man, we're getting it together. Puka Nacua's coming back. He's, you know, slated for return from IR. We're going to get these guys back. We're not going to trade Cooper Kupp. We're not going to trade Matt Stafford. We're going to make a run. We're going to go for it. I think no matter what the outcome is tonight, I think it changes potentially the calculus of most especially a Matt Stafford trade. So that's kind of interesting. The Buccaneers, the receiver situation, yeah, I mean, I do think that they would definitely be in the market to shop for a guy. I can honestly tell you, I don't know who it would be at this point because this all happened so suddenly that it's just like everything's humming and it's going great, and then the right and left wheel both fall off the car. You know, it's like insane how much of a you know, curveball they've been thrown all of a sudden. I can't even tell you who they would be in the market, you know, to acquire. And by the way, the Steelers are still going to get somebody. The Steelers are absolutely looking to add a wide receiver. And I think the Lions could potentially still add an offensive piece. I think if they feel like we can't add a defensive piece, maybe we want to add some depth offensively, maybe a receiver, because Jameson Williams can't like stop getting suspended, like be available. Like, you know, there's some frustration there with him. And, I think other contenders too could still potentially add wide receiver pieces. I mean, you know, the 49ers, frankly, at this point are kind of like, okay, Ayuk's out, Debo's banged up, you know, Kittle's not healthy. They're looking at rolling like Ricky Pearsall, who got shot. It's like that. I mean, I don't mean to laugh about that, but like, it's crazy at this stage how much has changed, you know, for the 49ers and the pieces they have on the table. So there's quite a few teams, I think, looking for wideouts, which is why I say I'd call about Calvin Ridley. I feel like, okay, if you're willing to deal D-Hop.
Good God.
About Ridley? Like, are you willing to deal Ridley? Because, you know.
Talk about giving up for the Titans, though. Talk about acknowledging just a complete screw-up for the Titans, though.
Saying that they would deal Ridley, by the way. I'm just saying that is when – that's the bat signal to me. When you see them trade DeAndre Hopkins, if you're a team that says we need pieces, let's review their roster. That's the first thing I would do is sit down and go, okay, who do they have that could help us? And let's see if they're potentially open to moving him, because, hey, they just moved this guy, and that definitely takes a piece off the table for their young quarterback. That sends us the signal that they're sellers right now. Let's see if they're sellers on something else.
So, Charles, as you know, there were a lot of firings around here recently. Vrabel gets fired last year. John Robinson gets fired in the middle of the season a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Things are going very poorly for the Tennessee Titans right now. So my question to you is this, because this is a big debate here in town. Let's say things continue along the path they're on right now, and I don't know any reason why they wouldn't, and they're either one of the worst teams in the league or right there in that ballpark at the end of the year. This is year two for Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker.
Right.
Obviously, it's year one for Callahan, and I kind of separate him from this conversation. Do you think Amy Adams Strunk would give serious consideration for moving on to the front office? Should she do that? And if she did, what would that tell you about her, given everything that's gone on at this place the last couple of years?
I mean, in terms of the question of would she, I think any owner, it depends how the season finishes, right? So if this completely craters and you lose, let's say you lose out the rest of the season, the first thing you do is you sit down and you go, okay, you know, let's review the situation. You have the conversation with Rand. Why did this happen? You know, what went wrong? What were the mistakes that were made? And then you have to ask Rand, what is the plan at this stage? You know, like, this clearly fell apart. The quarterback's not working. There are fundamental questions now that we have on the roster. Is this a total rebuild? If it's, you know, you don't have the quarterback, I argue teams without quarterbacks are always in a state of rebuild. You're never right until you ultimately can resolve that position. So maybe the first question you say is, explain to me what went wrong, what were all the problems, where did, you know, what were your failures, what would you do differently? And then the next thing I need to know is, what is the plan at quarterback? If this is not our quarterback, where are we getting a quarterback? What does the draft look like? When the season's over, obviously you have an idea of where you're positioned draft-wise. You know what your capital is in future years. What's the opportunity moving forward? And then I think you have to make your judgment based on those answers. I also think there's an element, too, that leads to the firing of general managers and coaches is does the team give up at this point the rest of the way? You know, do you see – are the leaders sort of out? They're like, no, we're not putting in good practices. You know, the RV's running in the parking lot the rest of the season. We're just waiting for it to get over so we can get out of here. And then what's the relationship between the coaching staff and the front office? Is there dysfunction there? That's what led to the whole Vrabel situation, right? It was an element of how do I feel about the head coach? How does the head coach feel about the general manager? What's the functionality of the layers? And I want to be careful how I say this, because I know in media markets, it's the knee-jerk reaction.
Just say it, Charles. Just say it.
When things go poorly, okay, in football seasons, the knee-jerk reaction in every market, it's not just, you know, Nashville, it's everywhere. The knee-jerk reaction is to give someone the adrenaline shot they want, the listeners. Fire everybody, you know? It's the dumb response. It is, because it's not nuanced. It's just the reaction to everything's bad. We just need to fire everybody, and that'll make us feel better. Okay, well, what are you getting at on the other side? That's the question that fans have to ask themselves. If we fire everybody, for what purpose? What does that serve? Who are we getting to on the other side of this? I watched it with the Jets and Robert Saleh. Everyone, all the Jets media and the fan base there, when they fired Saleh, on the other side of it, there was this like, yeah, we did it. They did it. They fired that guy. And what did you get? Yeah, they went and got Davante Adams. Awesome. Great. What did you get? You look like crap again. You know, nothing changed. Nothing got better. You still look like crap. Now you have an interim coach where you're like, I don't know. Does Ulbrich know what he's doing? And you're already asking that. You have Aaron Rodgers coming out going, Davante Adams just gave the most impassioned, real speed. Look, cool, dude. Awesome. Great.
He's been there 5 minutes. He's leading
five
the
minutes.
Team.
100%. What does that change? Sweet, dude. Good story. Appreciate it. Doesn't really change anything. We still are in a hole. We're still one more loss from everything falling apart. They lose one more game, it is over. People will quit inside that team so fast. That, you know, so that's my thing. Like, be smart as fans, right? Like, don't just go, I need somebody to get fired to make me feel better about how crappy this has gone. Okay, and what did we accomplish? You're not going to get better on the other side of it. Doesn't save the season. What are the long-term answers? That's what you should be asking yourself before you go, just fire people to make us happy. I don't mean to be critical. Like, I've been there too, right? I have done that. I have been the person who's like, this dude's terrible. They need to get him out of here. I covered Marty Moore, who I knew the Lions, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? I covered
he
Matt
was,
Millen.
He was fireable. No, he was
right,
too.
I covered Matt Millen, right? Like, how many receivers
Eminem,
in the world are you going to draft in the first round? Like, you know, like things where I'm like, they need to fire. Absolutely. But I was also in my 20s, and I was like, I never asked the question, like, why, though? Like, what are we getting to on the other side of it? What's the answer?
Well, if somebody's incompetent enough, then even if you don't have that answer, you have to do it, right? It's just a matter of when you know that.
Yes. Right. Yeah, okay. Well, that's part of the conversation we're having, the why. Like, if it's total incompetence, okay. It was like the Raiders. And the Raiders fired Josh McDaniel. Like, when Josh went in there and he told me all these stories about what he learned, and I'm like, okay, all right, I'll buy this, that maybe you really did figure something out when you went back to the Patriots. Okay, you have the GM you want, all these different things. I kind of bought into that. But when he got fired at that point, the players were, that was it. It was over. They had revolted. They're like, we are not playing for this guy. He's terrible. We don't like anything about the organization. This is all wrong. It's broken. So to me, I'm like, okay, I get that. Like at this point, like I get it. If you're at this point where it's like the players are like, we're done. It's over. We will not win another game. We're done playing for this guy. It's nothing but cancer at this point. I get it at this stage. Are the Titans there? That's my question to you. Do you think the organization right now, are the players like, coaching staff doesn't know what they're doing? We're out. Like, we're just quitting. Like, it's over. Do you feel like that? Do you feel like Rand Carthon as a general manager has done nothing right? There are some GMs who do nothing right. I mean, like, and I'm not going to name names because there's, like, people who I respect in the business who I've known for years who have done a good job until they got to the GM position, and then they did every wrong thing. And I'm like, okay, I get that firing. I've had people I have really good relationships with. I've watched them get fired and had a hard time saying to them after the firing, man, this is so unfair, you know, because I don't feel that. I'm like, no, I kind of get it, man. You screwed up every way you could. You deserve it. So I ask you guys, the coaching staff not know what they're doing, the players completely out on the staff, number one. And number two, is Rand unredeemable as a general manager? Has he done nothing right as a general manager there?
I'd say one. I mean, I wouldn't say that at this point.
No.
Rand has not done – I'm trying to – how many negatives I'm – Rand has not done nothing right.
Yes, he's not done everything wrong.
Yeah, that's a better way to say it. There you go. Yeah, but it's bad right now.
But it's bad.
QB.
He's not done a lot of things right either. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, more wrong than right, I think is fair for sure.
And here's what I will say to you as well as fans, the fans that are listening. The worst organizations I see in the league, the absolute worst, the dregs, the worst owners are the ones who constantly make change.
Right.
Because they feel like they have to make change. The Raiders are terrible. Mark Davis is a terrible owner. He's a terrible owner. I have no problem saying that, okay? And that is not, well, how can you be an unbiased person covering? That is not bias. It is literally my intellectual analysis of Mark Davis as an owner. He is a terrible owner because he makes change that doesn't make sense. He listens to the wrong people. He repeatedly hires and makes bad hires. And then once he does it, he gets involved in the situation and muddies up things that are going on with the construction of the people he hires. That's, you don't want to be that kind of an organization. The Panthers are who they are because of ownership, okay? The Raiders are who they are because of ownership. Do you want ownership that constantly just keeps swapping out coaches, swapping out general managers? You know, and by the way, you're asking for your owner to get involved again. Do you want that? Do you want an owner that's constantly meddling with the construct? You don't. I swear you don't. You do not want that. You want something closer to, may he rest in peace, the best dynamic I have seen is a Paul Allen type, where it's like, I'm hiring two people I trust. There's going to be some dynamic tension between them. I'm going to let them do their jobs. And when it's over at the end of the year, I'm going to go, okay, what did we mess up on? What were our successes? What were the reasons for it? And now how can we repair this? What did we learn? That's the ideal. Hire your people, let them do what they're going to do. When it's over, sit down and go, was it a success? What is it a failure? And how do we remedy the failures in the operation? How do we take advantage of the successes? Not, oh, this is Amy's got to get involved here. She's got to fire some people. She's got to, you know, that's the right thing to do. I say for what? If she's got somebody who's available right now, if she's sitting there going, I believe in Bill Belichick. I think he is a mastermind. I have to have him. That's why I'm firing, you know, the coaching staff. That's why I'm firing the general manager. Okay, that's an answer. I don't think that's what's going on right now. Okay.
Yep.
So everybody, I get frustration. I understand it. It's the worst. It is the worst to cover a bad team. It's the worst to be a fan of a bad team. It's awful to go along with a bad organization. I wanted to fire Dan Campbell 7 games into his second season. Yeah. I did, straight up. I was telling people in Michigan, like, why? Why do you guys, like, why are you not upset about this? He's objectively terrible. His record is awful. And yet fans are like, we believe in him. He wants to be here. We think they'll get it turned around. I was like, y'all are crazy. And they did. They traded for Jared Goff. I'm like, he'll be gone in a year. Like, they're going to cut this guy. Like, they're not going to pay Jared Goff. He's not going to turn it around. And he did. So that's my rant, man.
There you go. I like it.
That's good therapeutic here today.
Charles. That was a lot of expenditure.
That's a good rant.
It is a very good rant.
Oxygen. There you go. Rant. Give you a rant.
Not the Rob rant, the Robin rant.
Robin rant.
There you go.
Robinson rant.
I like that.
There we go. Charles, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks, guys. Take care.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports.
See Rob Rant.
Lot to react to there. We'll do that next. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.